us on this show to have discussions about how to find a new mission, I guess we could say, for our nation's veterans. And as I was perusing this week for things to talk to you about, I think maybe that we found one. I don't know exactly how I feel about it, so I thought we would talk about it. I love having the discussion and then seeing the comments and having further discussion offline with folks that are interested in having a constructive conversation about said topics. So today we're going to talk about what may be an interesting new mission for veterans should they choose to accept it. I'm not exactly sure how I feel about it, however. I have mixed emotions, but I think we should just discuss it, put it out there, and see what happens. So we're gonna get right to that. So stick with us. Don't go away. We start now. Hey everybody, and welcome here to the next episode of the Richard Leonard Show. I want to thank you, as always, for joining us. I really do appreciate you spending some time with us on your Sunday evening. Excuse me. Before we get started, I would like to, as usual, let you know about how this show is made possible, and that's Cortez Wealth Management. Get yourself over to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Sign up for a webinar that happens on Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Carlos Cortez Jr. and his staff want to help you plan and execute a tax-free retirement plan. So, when you get all the information via the webinar, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns for Carlos and or his staff, they would be more than happy to help you out, answer your questions, help you get over any hurdles that you may have. So do yourselves a favor, at least gather the information. You deserve it, folks. Everybody who works hard for what they have and put in their time deserves to have a plan that is attractive to them that they can continue to work towards and be excited about. So get over there to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Okay. So, as I was saying, this whole idea of giving veterans a new mission is not something that's foreign to us on this show. Usually it involves something pretty invasive, I guess you could say, or something that's pretty substantial, right? Like a big job that requires the skill set of somebody who has served in the military. A lot of times, some of these jobs or these new missions, if we want to call them that, are less than desirable jobs, I'm sure. but I think that that's what makes it attractive to veteran population, is because we don't always have the most attractive jobs. We don't always have the most attractive experience during our military careers. And so I think sometimes people might think that it's kind of putting the BS work over on the vets or on the military folks. But to be honest, sometimes that's the kind of things that we don't mind doing. We're used to it. And most of the time, if you ask me, the stuff doesn't end up being all that bad. Now, the discussion we had a couple of weeks ago about tracking down kids and bringing them home, that would be quite a daunting task. I as well as many others would probably be honored to do it, but a daunting task nonetheless. So as I was perusing, I dropped my pen, excuse me. As I was perusing, I had come across some information that suggests that there is going to be a push this coming election season to recruit, I guess you could say, veterans to man polling stations. Due to all the, and what not, it's what it's not due to is what nobody has talked about yet that I've been able to see was all the alleged cheating and scandal and this and that, and we're gonna put people in jail and for claiming the election was stolen and all kinds of stuff like that. None of that. Apparently, there was a whole lot of harassment, terroristic threats, death threats, threats of violence, all kinds of threatening phone calls, emails, letters, intimidation against poll watchers, poll workers, after the last election. And so there are people out there that are thinking, well, why don't we just put veterans there? Why don't we have veterans man the polling stations? And I'll be honest with you folks, my first initial thought was, well, isn't this great? Now the vets get stuck with the bullshit job once again. They're going to pull it over our eyes once again. And then you get to thinking about it. And maybe it's not such a horrible thing. And I don't know why my first gut reaction is a negative one, right? And it might be because anything that has to do with the government, like reaching out to ask for help from this community, this population of people, usually, in my opinion, first of all, it seems too good to be true that they actually need some help. Second of all, you usually get the short end of the stick. But after doing some more reading and a little bit of research, find out that it's not necessarily the government that's asking for the veterans to man these stations, but it's the hundreds of people that resigned, and other counties and districts that are looking for people to work the polls. So many people resigned and quit after being threatened and harassed for just doing their job. Now, there was a woman in Michigan, excuse me, who resigned after the 2020 presidential election. And she was told by this gentleman who apparently is being arraigned this month, if he wasn't already, for threatening this lady about the outcome of the election in Michigan. An excerpt from the voicemail that was left on her phone says, 10 million plus patriots will surround you when you least expect it, and we will effing kill you. Now, mind you, this woman is in her late 60s, early 70s, something like that. And she's getting these emails, she's getting voicemails. She claimed that people were following her around, maybe. She wasn't sure, but she said things felt weird. All because she was checking IDs at a polling station and who knows what else. I mean, we all were there, right? We all took part in the last election. And if you ask me, my opinion, my humble opinion, is that there was treachery afoot. Absolutely. I think that there was cheating all over the place. And I think that it becomes more believable now that we're in 2023, 3 years later, when there's so much other stuff coming to the surface so much stuff about COVID, so much stuff about the Biden family and Hunter and cocaine and laptops and hookers and drugs and money and foreign business dealings. There's just so much stuff going on in our communities that we were told wasn't a problem. And then also, apparently, buckle up, folks, because we are about to see another lockdown, they say. Who knows if that's true? I hope not. If we didn't learn anything from the last time, I think that there'll be a lot of people that are going to learn this time, if that does happen, because I don't believe that people are going to stay silent and just comply. I think that there's going to be a lot of issues. People are going to have a lot of issues with a whole nother lockdown. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that very many sane people, and maybe even crazy people, could take any more being locked down. Now that you locked us down, you eased up, you let us out of our cages to some kind of normalcy, back to normalcy, just a little bit. And then they're claiming they're going to lock us down again. Well, I don't know that we should get all spun up and wrapped around the axle about it. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm here to tell you, it's my opinion that if that does happen, it ain't going to be pretty. And I'm sure that most of you, if not all of you, would agree that the last thing that this country needs is to be locked in our homes yet again for an undisclosed amount of time. So I think that If we're going to put our nation's veterans at polling stations, if it was me, if I was interested in volunteering and signing up for that gig, I would have to see some kind of changes, right? Like, here's my question. If I'm standing at a polling station as a poll worker and there's a blatant violation, and I tell this man or woman, I'm sorry, I can't give you a ballot, this is not valid, or blah, blah, whatever the situation is. And then hell breaks loose, right? There's arguments and screaming and God knows what could happen. What is the recourse of a poll watcher? To the best of my knowledge, from what I could find, is nothing. Right? Like, you have to ask them to leave, call the police to have them escorted out. But what is there to say about all the other things that happen? If we're going to put veterans at the table where you show your utility bill and your ID, why don't we put them in all aspects of the election? Where are the ballots being transported to and from? Why don't we let them ride in those trucks? If we're going to trust them, these men and women, with the safety and security of the polling station, why not trust them with the safety and security of the ballots? Because I don't really know that. I wasn't able to find, anyway, I shouldn't say I don't know. I wasn't able to find a whole lot of, or any information about any kind of like violence, or nobody got beat up or killed or anything at the polling station. this woman got threatened after the fact, as well as many others. And there very well could have been, folks, there very well could have been people that were harassed or beat up or hurt or violated or whatever there at the polling station. But my question is, if we're going to put them there, if we're going to put America's veterans at the polling station, why don't we put them why don't they go with the ballots? How about that? Why don't we take this a step further? Because what I think is that it's going to be hard for a whole lot of people. I don't want to say anybody, because there'll be those that will believe whatever they're told. But I believe that it's going to be hard for a whole lot of people to trust that whatever the outcome is of the upcoming election next year, that it was legit. And I would even go on as far to say, it doesn't matter who wins. If Donald Trump gets the nomination and he wins, I still would question the validity of that election. Because many are saying that are in the know a whole lot more than I, that it doesn't really matter because you're chosen, right? The president is chosen, not by the people, and they're inserted, and they're given their agenda, they're given their talking points, and they're given their marching orders by the powers that be. Some call it the deep state, some call it the global cabal, whatever you want to call it. But some of us are being led to believe that it doesn't matter what you do at the polling station. It doesn't matter if Donald J. Trump gets 92% of the vote in this country, he may still not win because he's not the one that they, whoever they is, selected. And so maybe what a good idea is to assign a team of veterans to each polling station. If we can find enough that are willing to do this job, they're assigned to this polling station from the time the ballots arrive there till the time they are counted and destroyed, or whatever's done with them. I don't know. They file them, they save them, they put them somewhere. I don't know. They stay with those ballots, I guess, until the winner is announced, the next president is announced, whatever that may be. Maybe it's the only way to ensure that your vote, my vote, and everybody else's vote actually gets counted. If we're going to go out on a limb and talk about how much our vote actually matters, prove it. It would make me feel a whole lot better knowing that when I fill out my ballot and I put it in the machine and it's being put in a filing cabinet or case or whatever, that the however many a number of people, veterans, that are there to watch this process and ensure that it's done the correct way, it'd make me feel a whole lot better to know that those people are going to follow my piece of paper until the whole thing's over. Because I'm sure you all remember the stories of ballots being dropped off in the middle of the night, all the blinds being closed, underground parking garages, all kinds of shady stuff happening on election night and in the days after. If my vote counts, and it's that important, then prove it. I guess that would be my response. That would be my message to the powers that be. Prove that my vote is valuable to this country. And don't just feed me a bunch of effing lip service. Because let's just say, for conversation's sake, that it's true. None of our elections have been, I shouldn't say none of them, but none of them in recent history have been legit. And if that's the case, none of our votes count. None of it matters. So why do we even go? Free time off of work? I guess I don't know. But I know that for all these years, I've been talking to my kids, my son and my stepsons, about how important it is that you're counted, that your vote is counted. A lot of men and women sacrificed everything for you to be able to walk into our neighborhood, into that fire department, in that fire station, and cast your ballot. So you make damn well sure that you, even if you vote for Mickey Mouse, now in my opinion it's a wasted vote, but at least you're counted and you're doing your civic duty. And furthermore, if you don't, then you and I have no reason to have a conversation where you're complaining or bitching about who's in office, what they're doing, and why. Because you didn't take it upon yourself to be heard. Folks, silent mouths don't get fed. So, everything we've been taught and told about our God-given American right to cast our vote for president, member of Congress, senator, mayor, school board, city council, whatever it is. If somehow, some way, it's proven to be fake, 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 boy, that'd be a big disappointment, wouldn't it? So, I can understand that we're worried about Gertrude, who's 79 years old, handing out ballots, being harassed and accosted because an election didn't turn out the way they wanted, and somebody thought maybe old Gertrude had something to do with it. I don't blame her for resigning and not wanting to come back. But if we're going to start inserting new people in there and we're going to put veterans in there because they have the skill set, right? Let's see. Here's one quote from a lady that had resigned. This is a whole different person here. She was interviewed about why this might be a good idea. And here's what she said. I see a huge benefit to having veterans working the polling locations. They're vigilant. They're looking at all times for any problems that might occur. To me, having them as part of the whole day, the whole activity, adds another layer of security to the polling precincts. Well, okay. But why do we stop at the polling precincts? Now they got me on not just the polling stations, but let's put these trusted men and women, they're going to babysit the ballots the whole way through. Why not? Why wouldn't we? If for no other reason, just to ensure America that the election is being conducted the way it was meant to. Because I think there's a whole lot more questions now than there ever was. And rightfully so. Have you ever asked yourself since 2020? Have you ever asked yourself, what if Donald Trump was right? He very well could have been right. He still may be right. My personal opinion is, I think he got ripped off. What does that do? What does that do for the way that we see this place that we call home? What does it do for this place that we live in that many of us have defended with our lives? To find out that one of the most important rights that you're given as a citizen of this country is your voice to be counted about who leads you in the government. Your members of Congress, your senators, your county commissioners, your mayors, city—I mean, everywhere from the president all the way down to your local government. And I seem to think, now this may be a whole nother conversation, but I seem to think that the local government is probably the most corrupt. Maybe. I've heard some stories about local government elections and goings-ons that make some of these things that we hear about in the federal government look like Mickey Mouse Club. So if you ask me, I want nothing to do with any of it. I'll go and cast my vote because that's my civic duty. As a member of this society, of this country, as a citizen, my duty is to go and cast my vote for our leadership. So I'll do that. But I don't know that I'd ever want to be running for office and playing these games with all these people. And the office politics thing, I don't play that very well. So I probably would never even get on a ballot, to be honest with you. Anyway, folks, we've run out of time in the segment. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Hey guys, one second here. I want to talk to you about our new friends over at TackRite. TackRite has given us permission to give our listeners, the listeners of the Stu Peters Network, 50% off on their new mini chainsaw. Have you ever used a chainsaw with one hand? Well, if not, you can now. This thing is small, powerful, and can be used for any of your odd jobs around your yard, your cabin, the work site, anywhere you may need a chainsaw for a small job. Now, you're not cutting down redwoods with this thing, but if you're trimming trees, if you're cutting small pieces of firewood, whatever it is you're doing, I'm sure that all of us have had a time when we're working in the yard and said, man, I could really use something to cut this tree or this bush or this shrub that's easy to use, one-handed. Get over to TackRiteSPN.com. Check this thing out. They're 50% off. Any orders placed will ship next business day out of their warehouse in New York. So get on over there today, TackRiteSPN.com. Check this thing out. We got one. My wife won't even let me use it. She thinks I'm going to break it. She loves using it, is what the real deal is. So again, TackRiteSPN.com. Get over there, get yours today. Hey guys, welcome back here. let's keep going here. One other thing that I was thinking about as we are discussing this veterans working at pull stations is kind of like the personality, right, that it takes to maybe work at one of these places. And I'm not trying to say that veterans can't do this or shouldn't do this, but more of just the overall feel of our communities these days may make it a little bit of a challenge for some people to leave their politics at the door. Right? I think one of the most important things that you can do if you're going to work in a polling location is to leave your politics in your car. Right? You don't discuss your views, you don't discuss your politics inside the polling station. And with all the things going on in our country as of late, I think that that might be something that really needs to be driven home pretty hard to anybody, not just veterans, not just, family members of military personnel that may choose to do this, but anybody. I think that we've seen a whole lot lately that people are pretty ballsy about speaking their mind nowadays. And I get the feeling, there's just something that's telling me that this will not be something that goes well in every poll location. And I'm sure that there's already a plan for that, you think, right? Like they've already thought about, well, we're not going to be 100%. We're not going to have all these polling locations all over the country with zero problems. But it's a pretty big deal, I think, right? If you go in to get your ballot and someone hands it to you and says, well, make sure you vote for, Joe Blow. He's the best candidate, right? I think that's going to spark some issues. But leaving your politics at the door and maybe prejudging folks as they walk in, a lot of times these people that work in these locations are from the local community, right? Because you can only vote where you're assigned, which means you're voting in the community you live in. And a lot of people that live in my neighborhood, I'm quite certain, don't share the same views that I share. And if I'm working in a poll location, I know exactly the views of a few people when they walk in the door. Now, I think I have enough self-control, enough integrity not to make a mockery out of the process. But does everybody else? And I think the answer to that probably is no, not everybody. Because these folks know each other. In fact, I think there was somebody in one of the articles I read that said one of the best things about being a poll worker is that you get to know your community. You get to know your local community and the people in it. And you see faces that you have not seen before. And you can spark up conversations, just not about your politics. And I think that might be a challenge for folks. It was said that there's nearly, 130,000 vacancies for this upcoming 2024 election that they're trying to fill. Which means that by the end of this year, December, a few months away, they're going to have to start pushing pretty hard. Because if they don't have enough workers, right? If these polling locations don't have enough workers, then they got to close it down, right? And send us to a different place that has more people, or maybe they have to consolidate their people that they do have and make one bigger polling location. But that means the lines are going to be longer. That means that more people are going to want to vote by mail or absentee, which is a whole nother issue. Can we talk about that really quick? Why is that such an easy thing for people to get? If it's true that our elections are so important and the fact that we take part in them and we participate is so damn important, then why are so many people allowed to not vote in person? Why is the government so they're all about just, hey, you know, if you sign up now, we'll send you your ballot. You don't even got to show up. It's bullshit. Go to the fire station, go to the post office, go to the local school, wherever it is that you're told to go vote. It's once every 4 years, at least the presidential election. If we're talking about national or federal elections, it's once every 2 years. Take you half an hour. So once every 2 years, you can figure out how to set aside half an hour for one day to go and cast your vote. And the only exception to that, in my opinion, should be men and women who are serving in the military that just absolutely are not able to be home. Or maybe a couple other occupations that take you away from home for many days at a time. And you're not home on election day. Maybe truck drivers or something like that. Why is voter ID even an issue? Show up. Show your ID with your address on it. If you just moved, then show proof of that. Everybody, 100% of us, have the ability to prove where we live, if we legitimately live there. You have an ID, you have a bill, you have a lease, you have a mortgage, you have something. If you're homeless, maybe you go vote at your last home of record. Or maybe you have to prove that you're homeless. Did you go to a shelter at some point? Did you go somewhere to get a meal? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's better answers to all this than whatever it is I got conjured up, but I just don't understand why we have such a hard time figuring out how to keep people honest to vote. How about this? If you don't show up and prove who you are, you don't vote. You don't get to vote. So your incentive, if you want to vote, is to figure it out in 2 years. You got 2 years to figure it out. How am I going to prove who I am and where I live? It's really not hard, folks. But we're so concerned about hurting somebody's feelings, and we got to be inclusive to the people that don't have a way to prove it. Bullshit. You have a way to show who you are. Everybody, you're supposed to have that. You're supposed to have an identification of some sort. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live, if you're homeless, if you're George Jetson and you live up in the stars with some flying car, you have the ability to prove who you are. And if you don't, you better get it. Or guess what? You don't get to cast a vote. We're not going to send it in the mail. If you can't prove who you are and where you live in person, why the hell is it acceptable to prove who you are and where you live via mail or a phone call to get a ballot or whatever that process? To be honest with you folks, I don't even know what the process is to get a ballot mailed to me because I don't give a crap. I'm going to walk my chubby ass in that damn fire station and I'm going to vote like intended. And I don't understand why that's so hard for so many other people to get behind. It's not racist. It's not uninclusive. It's not insensitive. Supposedly, it's a pretty damn big deal to be able to go cast your vote. Women fought for it forever. Black folks fought for it forever. Having the right to vote is an activity that many, many people died for, not just soldiers. Many people put their heart and soul into making sure that their class of people, their color, their gender, whatever it is, that their people were able to cast a vote. And now all we have to do is request one online. Request a ballot online. No problem. And to be quite honest with you, in my opinion, it would all be well and good if there was proof to the American people that the elections were legit. But I think every time something new comes up, it's information about how it's not legit, how it's all a scam, and how it's all a farce. But I don't think anybody is really going out of their way to change that narrative. Which for me is the other side of this. For me is the other side of why maybe we don't want to be putting a bunch of veterans in there. Because for me, it has the it has the possibility of putting all of that weight on a very small population of our country in this on a very small community. If something goes awry, the last thing, in my opinion, I would want to see happen is any of that laid on the shoulders of the veterans that volunteered to work at these polls. Unless there is proof that they are not doing the job right. So I think if we were to take these men and women, assign them a polling location, not in the place that they live, I would say 5 to 8 districts away from where they live. They get there when the ballots get there, and they go home when the next president is announced. And they travel with those ballots wherever they go. So if at 4 o'clock in the morning, those ballots turn up at some counting center in the middle of nowhere, with all of the exterior lights off and the shades drawn, to be tossed in a dumpster, half of them tossed in the dumpster and half of them brought inside, well, then there'll be record of that. And some people may say, well, you know, that's pretty damn extreme, Richard. Well, maybe it is. But just think about it. If there was a group of people with each truckload, or however they transport these things, of ballots that had positive control over them the whole time, and they're trusted people, who can say it was rigged? Now, maybe the questions of the machines, the Dominion machines or whatever, whoever's going to be running the new machines, if there are any, who even knows? Maybe that'll be the next thing. Well, we had people with the ballots from beginning to end, and it still was stolen, or they were still cheating, there was still treachery. Maybe we say screw those machines. Maybe we do it like it was meant to be done. Why don't we hand count them? Who's going to do it? I don't know. But is it worth hand counting them to ensure that we have a free and fair election that we all can feel at least semi-good about? So we don't all have to feel like we're living in a movie or in a dictatorship or in a communist country or whatever people want to call it. Sometimes I really wonder if we can still call this a democracy. It seems to be a memory of sorts sometimes. And then just look at what happened. Look what happened to our country, to everything that we knew. I mean, there are some people out there that say that this stuff has been going on forever, and things like the internet and camera phones and satellite messaging and all kinds of stuff. Just put it out in front of our faces now, and people are pissed off about it. But things like this have been going on forever. And maybe that's true. But if you ask me, all of this upheaval, all of this happened because people hated Donald Trump before he was even president. Hatred for one man was so strong that it tore our country apart. Do you remember? You remember what it was like in the mid-90s, maybe? I mean, I was a teenager. But I remember the early 2000s. You remember what it was like when you could have discussions about your politics or your political views, and then you just agree to disagree. You open another beer and talk about the game. Or you move on to the next thing. Do you remember? And then some guy, some really rich guy, people call the Orange Man or whatever their nicknames are for President Trump, comes down this golden escalator, announces his candidacy for president. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of all of this upheaval. That was the beginning of all this bullshit. Now, maybe some of the conspiracy theorists are right. Maybe it was always part of the plan to have somebody like Donald Trump sit in the Oval Office for a term and just cause the country to implode on itself. Maybe that was part of the plan. Maybe that was the deep state's plan to be able to get everything out of us that they have. Get us to take shots, get us to stay home, get us to wear masks, get us to fight each other. The other theory is that all of this is happening to divert our attention. To divert our attention away from something really big that we're not paying it, clearly not paying attention to. I think we've seen a lot of that recently with the situation in Maui. The laser fires, and why did the blue things not burn, and why is the asphalt still on the streets with the paint on them? Why did the asphalt not melt? Because it melts at 363 degrees Fahrenheit, and those fires were a whole lot hotter than that because it melted cars. I've heard it all. I've been talking about it all. But it all started the day Donald Trump came down the escalator. What people don't talk about, though, is the good things that happened while Donald Trump was in the Oval Office. When we weren't paying $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 a gallon for gas, inflation wasn't killing us. We could still take our families to the movie theater for a movie night and have it be less than $100. We could go to the grocery store and buy a dozen eggs for less than $4. I suppose it depends on where you live now, but I mean, in Minnesota, eggs weren't that expensive. Gas wasn't that expensive. Do you remember? Do you remember what it was like to not walk into a grocery store or any other place, look around you, and not feel like there's an idiot by you, or there's somebody who may have a different view, and you just can't be by them, and you just can't take it, you can't stand it. Remember what it was like when you could walk in, hey, hi, how you doing? Continue about your way. Not to worry about if they have a mask on or if they're 6 feet away from you. But all that doesn't really matter now because we're in it. So the question is, how do we get from underneath it? And I think the whole point of today's conversation, I went off in the weeds, but the whole point of today's conversation was to talk about veterans working at polling stations. Well, I think that this is an opportunity for our country to start healing from that, maybe. Putting veterans in polling stations may not be a horrible idea, but it's a better idea to have them at the polling stations with those ballots from the time they arrive. This is just my opinion. I'm no expert, right? I'm no genius. I'm just an ex-infantryman who sells Harley-Davidson parts now and comes and talks to you guys for an hour a week. Have them there from the time the ballots arrive till the time the president is announced. They ride with him, they sit with him, they eat lunch at a table next to them. And some people may say, well, that would really suck. It's a shitty job. Yep. And that's what makes it a good job for veterans, because we've had some shitty jobs and we know how to get through it for a few days. If it takes extra days, then it takes extra days. Treat it like jury duty. Just pay me. And I'll ensure that these ballots, when they arrive where they need to go, are untainted. Folks, that's all the time that we have for tonight. Man, the time flies. I want to thank you, as always, for joining us. I really hope that you have an amazing week. Please, please, please take care of yourselves, and we will see you next week. Thanks again. Good night. Hey, folks, I want to take a second here to talk to you about our friends over at Gold Co. Please, please, please take some time and give Gold Co. a call today and have them tell you about how to back your Roth IRA with up to $10,000 of free silver. Their number is 855-920-3196. Again, that's 855-920-3196. It's no secret, folks, that we're hurting. Our country's hurting. Inflation's on the rise. They say it's going down. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it to me. But you can back your plan with precious metals such as gold and silver by calling Gold Co. at 855-920-3196. Give them a call. Tell them the Richard Leonard Show sent you. Don't miss out. Call them today.